Welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
And I'm Rebecca, and we know your English will improve today.
Our lesson today is a viewpoints lesson, which means we'll be hearing two sides of a discussion. And what is it about?
Saving money. Or rather, how do you manage your money? So, what do you do with your paycheck every month?
Do you spend most of it? Or how much do you save? What advantages are there to saving your money? Or should you even save at all?
Keep an open mind as we join a conversation between Carl and Trevor. Open your magazine and let's begin with A Penny Saved is a Penny Earned. Or is it?
A penny saved is a penny earned. Or is it? How do you manage your money? Carl and Trevor are co-workers at a computer company.
Hey Trevor, want to have dinner at the Royal Steakhouse?
Why would I go there? It's almost $100 a person to eat there.
We just got paid. Let's celebrate.
I'll pass. A luxurious dinner at the Royal isn't in my budget.
It'll be fun. Bring Emily.
If I want to take my wife to the Royal Steakhouse, I need to plan a little in advance and save up. Carl, do you ever save any money?
Not really. I pretty much live from paycheck to paycheck.
嗨，大家好，我是 Michelle。 这篇文章的第一个重点，我们看 luxurious 这个形容词。 luxurious 是指豪华的或者是奢华的。例如 The family owns a luxurious villa in Spain， 这个家族拥有一栋位于西班牙的豪华别墅。还有另外一个形容词 luxury， 也可以指奢侈或豪华的，但是它大部分都是放在名词前面。例如 a luxury hotel， 豪华旅馆。 a luxury car 是指高级房车。但是 luxurious 除了可以放在名词前，它可以当标语使用。例如 The restaurant is luxurious and expensive， 这家餐厅很豪华也很昂贵。接下来我们看的是 paycheck 这个名词。 paycheck 是指付薪水的支票或者是薪水。例如 When Frank got his first paycheck， he bought nice gifts for his parents to express his gratitude。当 Frank 拿到第一次的薪水时，他用来买很棒的礼物送给父母，表示他的感恩。课文中的 live from paycheck to paycheck， 意思是指每个月都把收入花光，也就是所谓的月光族。
Thank you, Michelle. Our lesson's title is A Penny Saved is a Penny Earned. Or is it? Well, we have a few things to look at from this title. First,I don't see pennies often here in Asia. What is a penny?
That's a great question. Well, a penny, it's the coin in the United States or Canada that is worth 1 cent. And why is it called a cent?
Well, because one way to remember is that it is 1% of a dollar. So 100 pennies makes a dollar.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Well, the title is quite interesting as well. It's a very interesting expression. A penny saved is a penny earned. Now, what exactly does that mean?
This means it is as useful or helpful to save money that you already have as it is to earn more. A lot of people think it's more useful to earn more money, to keep earning, but it's just as useful to save what you have.
Exactly. But then after the title, we see a question. Or is it?What's that all about? Well, this is a question that implies skepticism or doubt about something. And usually you see this after a statement that people assume to be true. Whoever says it wants someone to question the previous statement. Do you think you have an example, Gabe?
Yes. For example, Robert is the smartest guy in our class. Or is he?
And here's another one. There are more chickens...than people in the world. Or are there? So our author wants us to question this famous expression. A penny saved is a penny earned.
That's right. Well, our lesson says, how do you manage your money? Now remember, some of those smartphone apps we looked at in November, they could help you manage your money. Look back to your November magazine to refresh your memory.
What a great idea. Well, our lesson says, Carl and Trevor are co-workers at a computer company. Now, the word co-worker reminds me of a related word. It's colleague.
Oh, yeah.
So what is the difference between a colleague and a co-worker?
Well, a co-worker is anyone who works in the same place as you, regardless of their level. Think of a colleague as being in the same league as you, or maybe the same field of study. For example, two teachers working at your school will be co-workers and colleagues, but the principal will just be the teacher's co-worker. His colleagues are other principals from other schools.
So are Carl and Trevor co-workers or colleagues? It seems like they're both. Here in our lesson it says, Carl says, Hey Trevor, want to have dinner at the Royal Steakhouse?
Now this is interesting. This sentence begins with want to have dinner, but is there a more maybe proper way to say this?
Yeah, typically we might ask the question, do you want to have dinner?
Okay, so you might add the words do you at the beginning. Do you want to have dinner? Well, what does the word royal make you think of? We're talking about the Royal Steakhouse here. What comes to your mind when you think of the word royal?
I think of a castle and princes, princesses,
oh,
a
nice.
Kingdom, something that's possibly even very expensive, wealth.
Yes, thank you for that explanation there, Princess Rebecca. Now our lesson continues with Trevor's line, why would I go there? It's almost $100 a person to eat there. Now just a quick reminder, these guys are talking about U.S. dollars, so that steak is not cheap.
No, it's definitely not cheap. Well, our lesson says, well, Carl responds by saying, we just got paid. Let's celebrate. And when do you get paid? Of course, on payday.
That's right. And of course, everyone looks forward to payday. It might be different for each company. It might be at the beginning of the month or the end of the month, or maybe in the middle of the month, every 2 weeks. When is your payday? Rebecca, are you excited about payday?
I'm always excited about payday because that's the day I feel more wealthy. I feel like I have money in my bank account.
And then maybe you could also go to the Royal Steakhouse. Well, our lesson continues with Trevor's line, I'll pass. A luxurious dinner at the Royal isn't in my budget.
So what does it mean if you say, I'll pass?
Well, this means that you're going to not do something that someone offered for you to do. So when else might we use this phrase?
Well,
I'll pass on the movie tonight. I have too much to do.
Yes, that's an excellent example. Or you could say, you're offering me chocolate. I love chocolate, but I'll pass. I'm trying to lose weight.
All right, well, there's different ways you could use this response. I'll pass. Now, when do you use the phrase, it's not in my budget? Have you ever said that, Rebecca?
Oh, I have. Sometimes if, well, for me, someone invited me to maybe go to the movies one week, and I said, I would love to go to the movies, but unfortunately, this week, it's not in my budget.
Okay, well, that's a great way to use that. And when would you use that phrase? Well, our lesson continues. Carl says, it'll be fun. Bring Emily. But Trevor says, if I want to take my wife to the Royal Steakhouse, I need to plan a little in advance and save up.
Well, let's visit Liz in the grammar gym now to learn something new with this sentence.
Hello, friends. My name is Liz, and thanks for joining me here at the grammar gym. Please take a look at the following sentence. I need to plan a little in advance and save up. For our grammar tip today, we're looking at the phrase, in advance. It is just a short way of saying getting something done early. So today's sentence just means, I need to start planning early and save up. This phrase, in advance, is a nice and fancy way of describing how something is done early, and it's usually earlier than what many other people would do. For example, let's say Irma is always having trouble with seeing her doctor because her doctor's schedule is always full. So we can suggest to Irma, maybe you should schedule an appointment with your doctor in advance. Or let's suppose your friend wants to fly somewhere, but the airplane tickets are always sold out. So maybe you can say to your friend, you may need to book your airplane ticket in advance. And that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to give this phrase a try next time when you're talking about doing something early. This is Liz from the Grammar Gym. I'll see you later.
Thank you, Liz. Well, our lesson continues with Trevor's line. He says, Carl, do you ever save any money? What does Carl say to that?
Carl responds by saying, not really. I pretty much live from paycheck to paycheck. I love using that phrase, pretty much. And what does it mean? It means almost completely.
That's right. And this is a very useful phrase, especially in conversation. It's not really a formal phrase when writing, but it's great in conversation. So you could say, Robert's pretty much the smartest guy in class.
Or, this is pretty much the best weather we've had in months.
Well, this is pretty much the best lesson we've had today. The only lesson we're having today. Now, what about the phrase, to live from paycheck to paycheck? What does that mean?
Well, this means that you spend all the money that you earned without saving anything. And oftentimes, it means because you don't really make enough money to save enough money.
Okay, often that's what it means. You don't really make enough to save anything. And so sometimes people that don't make a lot of money, they really do have to live from paycheck to paycheck. But it seems like Carl is kind of choosing to live from paycheck to paycheck. It sounds like he could save money, but he's choosing to do this.
Yes, it sounds like Carl enjoys spending money and doesn't really mind having to live from paycheck to paycheck. Well, we still have more to learn about this conversation, but we'll have to do that right after this. Hello, and welcome back to Studio Classroom, where you go when you want to hear a good argument, or a good discussion anyway. Today, we're doing just that. It's a conversation between two coworkers at a computer company. Payday has just passed, and Carl wants to celebrate by going with Trevor to a super expensive steakhouse. Trevor says he needs to save up money for something like that, while Carl isn't worried because, after all, he lives from paycheck to paycheck. Well, let's listen to more of their conversation now.
A penny saved is a penny earned, or is it?
What about saving for the future?
I'd rather enjoy life now.
Emily and I try to save 20% of our salaries.
For what? A second honeymoon?
No, we hope to have kids. And we're taking our parents' suggestion to save some money up for that. Don't you ever think about marriage and family?
Are you kidding? I'm not even dating anyone, much less worrying about how to pay for diapers.
It's not just about paying for diapers. The average cost to raise a child to age 18 is almost $250,000. And that doesn't include university.
That may be true, but I'll worry about that after I get married.
Okay, 接下来我们看的是 salary 这个名词。 Salary 是指薪资。 例如, Alex's salary has doubled in the past 2 years because of his outstanding performance. Alex 因为工作表现优异, 他的薪水2年内涨了一倍。 或者是 Nathan's salary is about $50,000 a year plus a bonus. Nathan的年薪大约是5万美金, 还要加上分红。 所以我们看的是 suggestion 这个名词。 Suggestion 是指建议或意见。 如果是提出建议的话, 是用 make 这个动词。 例如, Gina's mom made a suggestion that Gina could bring her kids to her house when she's working. Gina的妈妈建议Gina工作时可以把孩子带到她家, 或者是, we're considering your suggestion and we'll get back to you ASAP. 我们正在考量您的建议会尽快回复您。And now, let's get back to our teachers.
Thank you, Michelle. Our lesson continues with Trevor's line, what about saving for the future? Now, this phrase, save for, is similar to the phrase we read earlier, to save up for. What is the difference?
Well, you usually save up for a certain thing, something that you must spend money on. So, for example, I'm saving up for a new computer.
Okay, so you could also say, I'm saving for a new computer, but we also use the phrase save for when talking about setting something aside for a time in the future or a period of life. For example, I'm saving for my vacation in a few months. But really, these two phrases can pretty much used in the same ways.
That's true. Well, here, Carl responds by saying, I'd rather enjoy life now. So does Carl think Trevor doesn't enjoy his life now? Well, Trevor pretty much ignores that implication. Instead, he says, Emily and I try to save 20% of our salaries. Is 20% a high percentage to save?
Well, no, I think 20% is a good amount to save each month. Well, Carl responds, for what, a second honeymoon? Now, Carl is kind of joking here. It seems like he thinks the only things that Trevor and Emily might spend money on is themselves or their relationship. But speaking of a second honeymoon, what is that?
A second honeymoon is basically something where a couple, husband and wife, they might go to a nice secluded area after having been married for many years.
And maybe this is just to celebrate their marriage again a second time, or even a third honeymoon after several years. Well, we do have more to learn right after we visit Steve and Ken in the Info Cloud. They're going to talk about this phrase, much less.
The much less structure is used in negative contexts to reinforce the improbability of something happening.
When a man is asked about getting married, his response, I'm not dating anyone, much less worrying about how to pay for diapers, means not likely.
Put another way, he is saying, I'm not doing A, so how could I possibly be doing B? Notice two things in this structure. One, A is a prerequisite to B, and two, A is easier to accomplish than B.
Right. The man is emphasizing the improbability of having children by first mentioning the simpler prerequisite to fatherhood, dating.
Okay, if Steve asked me, did you get 100 on your math test? And I responded, I couldn't get a 40, much less 100. What would that mean?
Well, getting a 40 is a prerequisite to getting 100, and it's easier too. So it means you're terrible at math.
Exactly. Okay, one more example. If I asked, can you cook?
And I said, I can't make instant noodles, much less cook a meal. It means I can't make even the simplest of foods, so how could I possibly make a full meal?
我们今天来看一个很实用的句型，那就是在一个否定句子后面接 much less 什么什么，来表达一种追加的说法，也就是前者都不可能，那后者就更不可能的意思。比如说 I can't make instant noodles, much less cook a meal. 我不会煮泡面，更不用说煮一餐饭。一个单身汉也许会说I'm not even dating anyone, much less worrying about how to pay for diapers. 我目前都没跟任何人约会，更别说要为尿布钱而担心，因为那离我太遥远了。若是想要进一步强调或延伸之前的论述，不妨考虑用 A much less B 这个句型。这就是今天的 Info Cloud， 我们下次云端见。
Thanks, guys. Well, let's continue our lesson with Trevor's line, which says, It's not just about paying for diapers. The average cost to raise a child to age 18 is almost $250,000.
Wow.
And that doesn't include university.
Well, it's good to know the average cost of certain things like this. For example, you could talk about the average cost of a meal. And the average cost of a meal in the United States is about $10. That's what you should expect to pay if you think about visiting there.
Or the average cost of a wedding is $25,000.
And that's kind of a lot of money, too. So these are good things to think about if you're considering something. Well, how does our lesson continue?
It continues with Carl's line, which says, "That may be true, but I'll worry about that after I get married." So what a great phrase, "that may be true." This is a great way to start a sentence when you agree with something someone said, but you still don't completely agree with the person.
That's right. So when Carl said, "I'll worry about that later," that actually reminded me of a great idiom that we've talked about here before. It's a bridge idiom. Now, can you guess what it is?
Let me think. Yes! I'll cross that bridge when I come to it.
That's right. I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. So basically, Carl doesn't want to worry about that right now. When do you use that phrase, "I'll cross that bridge when I come to it"?
Well, maybe if you have a decision that you need to make, but you don't necessarily have to make that decision at this very moment. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a week down the road or 2 weeks, and someone's trying to get you to make a decision right now, you can just say, "I don't need to worry about it right now. I'll cross that bridge when I come to it."
Well, there's a bridge that we need to cross right now, and it's the bridge over to Linda in the editor's summary. We'll see you soon.
Today we meet Carl and Trevor. They work at a computer company together. Carl asks Trevor if he wants to eat at a steakhouse to celebrate getting paid that day. Trevor wonders why he would want to eat at such an expensive restaurant and says that a luxurious dinner there is not in his budget. And when Carl suggests that he bring his wife, Trevor says that he would definitely have to plan ahead. And then he asks if Carl ever saves any money, to which Carl replies, "Not really," and that he lives from paycheck to paycheck, basically. When Trevor asks him about the future, he replies that he would rather enjoy life now. Trevor states that he and his wife are trying to save 20% of their salaries because they want to have a baby. And when he asks Carl if he ever thinks about getting married, Carl replies that he is not even dating anyone, so why would he worry about paying for diapers? So Trevor answers back with, "It's much more than that. The cost of raising a child plus university costs are very expensive."
Thanks, Linda. So who do you agree with so far? Trevor or Carl?
Well, don't make up your mind too quickly. The conversation is not over yet. Come back tomorrow for the rest right here on Studio Classroom, the place where we sometimes talk about saving money. We'll see you then.
I am so proud to have you in my life, a good friend. Last a lifetime.